ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Women serve and men instruct. That's how one researcher describes the trend in AI assistants, because most default voices are polite and female, while more authoritative roles often get male voices. But does that really matter? Do we treat a voice differently if it sounds male or female? And what does it say about us if we bark commands or get frustrated at an AI assistant? Maybe tell me if you've seen tech change the way a person interacts with the real-life humans around them. You can send me a text on 0418 226 576. With me is Ramona Vijayharata, a professor of law at the University of Technology, Sydney. She's been looking into this. Ramona, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me on, Tegan.
Why does it matter how I talk to an AI if it's not even a human?
Well, why don't we start by situating your audience with what we're talking about. Many would have a virtual assistant in their home, like a Siri or Alexa, both of which have female names, or a Google Home, which has a default female voice. And we're also talking about things like bank apps, which might be have a chatbot to help you if, for example, you've lost your bank card, and they are often designed to be female with female names. So why does it matter? Well, there is a gender stereotype here. We have these virtual assistants here to serve and help, perpetuating this message that women exist in society to assist. There's a really interesting example from IBM that came out in 2015. They created a bot called Watson for Oncology. And Watson was designed to instruct doctors on how to use medical data, and Watson was given a male voice. So men's voices are used in more, what are called demanding and authoritative fields, and women are there to serve. But I think this problem of gender stereotyping is just the beginning, and it's been amplified by the extent to which the research is showing high, in fact, really alarming rates of verbal abuse directed at virtual assistant technologies and chatbots. Anywhere between 10 and 50% of interactions with virtual assistants involve some form of verbal abuse, and the abuse is gendered. The statistics show that users are treating their virtual assistants differently when they have a female voice compared to when they're gendered male or they're assigned no gender at all.
It's so interesting because, of course, if you're talking to a computer, it's recording your responses. Of course we have data about this. It's literally being recorded.
Exactly. So, you know, the statistics are shocking. And I think when you spend some time actually listening to the language we could not repeat on radio, it does beg us to ask the question, should we be taking this more seriously? Is there a way in which this sort of abuse against virtual assistance technologies, is it normalising violence against women when we know we already have a problem in society about gender discrimination and violence?
Is it though? Like, do we have data on whether this is spilling out of an interaction with a bot into interactions with other humans?
So I think it's a legitimate question to ask. You know, many would say this is just the virtual world. And that has been a response in many places. In South Korea, for example, there was a virtual assistant created called Luda. Luda was designed in 2020 to be a 20-year-old female university student to assist people. And really quickly, Luda was manipulated into responding to sexual requests as a sex slave. Many in the online community in South Korea simply said this is a crime without a victim. And I think we need to challenge the idea that there's no victim. You know, we need to be investing in research, large-scale studies, working with behavioural science to understand, is this translating to everyday violence against women? What's interesting is the United Nations UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, has actually said, yes, this is normalising violence against women. And they've taken this very seriously for decades. They've run campaigns in the last decade, including a campaign back in 2020 called Hey, Update My Voice, trying to get the technology designers to change the way in which the assistants were responding. So there is this sort of sentiment that this is normalising violence against women. I think we need to do more research to find out if so and in what ways. But I think we need conversations like this one to start to unpack what's going on here and what might that risk look like. Returning to South Korea, it's a country that has this ongoing problem with the way in which new and emerging technologies are affecting women. There's high rates of deepfake pornography. There's records of illegal filming of women on telephones in public toilets. So I don't know if we can correlate allowing sexual abuse against a virtual assistant like Luda to the kind of normalisation of violence in society, but I think we want to be asking what is going on here.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Professor Ramona Vijayaharasa, who's concerned about how the gendered nature of our virtual assistants might be bleeding into how we treat each other. Ramona, we've spoken a lot about how individuals are interacting with these virtual assistants. That's really valid, obviously, but there's two parts of this issue. The other is how tech companies are designing them, the effect that these powerful tech companies have over our lives. What needs to be done on that end?
Well, what I think is interesting is this problem is known to the sector. So for a long time, the sector has been pre-coding responses to verbal abuse. So they're expecting the abuse and they pre-code a response such as, I'm not sure what you mean by that question. And I think the fact that the tech sector knows this abuse is happening and they're expecting it and that's been their only response means there needs to be some stronger incentive to get the tech industry to change. And as someone who comes to this as a lawyer, I think there needs to be stronger regulation of what the tech sector is doing. Many would know that in some countries there's emerging regulation of AI, including in the European Union. But even those laws are unlikely to capture this type of technology. They ban very unacceptable risks from AI, such as biometric identification systems, where you use biometric technology to identify who's in a stadium, for example. High-risk AI has certain requirements. It's unlikely that gender stereotyping or the risk that we're normalising violence would be considered high risk enough for law to capture it. And I think that's a problem. It's an even bigger problem in countries like Australia, where the government has decided for now not to regulate with AI-specific rules and rely on existing regulation, when I don't think there'll be enough to capture this kind of harm. So we need technology designers to do more. We have to remember the industry itself is often considered gender blind. Women have only made up 30% of the tech sector at best. Right now around the world, it's sitting at around 27% and rarely in leadership. And I think it's fair to say if the composition of those sitting around the table designing the tech was different, it could shift the conversation and maybe there'd be a different response from the tech sector to the problem that they know exists. And it's not just about having women at the table. I've been partnering with Rapido Social Impact at UTS. They're a team of software engineers. And the female senior software engineer that I'm working with on this particular area of research has designed virtual assistant technologies for over 2 decades. And she said, I almost always made them female by default and I never thought otherwise. So it's a sector-wide problem, and I think there needs to be a lot of education as well as regulation going on.
So we're asking for regulation. We're asking for maybe tech companies to look at their biases that they might not realise they have. For an individual, like, should I change my default voice to male? Like, what can I do in my own sphere?
Again, I think that's a really fair question, and I'm not sure changing it to default will necessarily address the problem. It's interesting, we want to be asking ourselves, in what context are we having these conversations? So as an adult who works in this field, I know when I talk to my Google Home that I'm not talking to a real human being. But many people might live in a household where there are other people around them hearing the way they engage with that assistant, including children. And so we need to think about how our behaviour might be impacting those around us and those hearing those conversations. So I think it's about a consciousness, facing what's going on and taking personal responsibility. And again, I think it's easy to dismiss this. Does it really matter the way you talk to a virtual assistant? But I think we want to ask ourselves, what's the problem here? Is that the problem here is a structural one. What does it mean when we're objectifying and controlling a system that we are treating as a woman and we're treating as submissive? What does that say about society? Is it possible that's diminishing respect for human relationships? And is it possible that's particularly diminishing respect for women?
Such food for thought, Ramona. Thank you so much for joining me. Ramona Vijayaharasa is a professor of law at the University of Technology, Sydney.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.